series, BBC Four turns the spotlight on the story of musicals from London's West End.
The Americans had so many great writers in full swing.
They just came one after the other, you know.
To British success on the global stage.
So along comes Lionel Bart, and he goes back to his Cockney roots.
Instead of trying to leap over the bar, he limboed under it.
A story of big shows.
Producers love bums on seats.
And bigger stars.
That was the day my life changed forever.
The story of musicals begins this Tuesday night at 9 on BBC Four.
Well, that's BBC Four television, of course. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio, online too. It's just gone 1 o'clock. Time for the news from Vaughan Savage.
An Arab League observer monitoring the peace plan in Syria has expressed concern that government snipers on rooftops have been targeting protesters. A video placed on the internet, which hasn't been independently verified, shows the observer in the southern town of Dera. He appears to be telling protesters that if the snipers are not gone within 24 hours, the Arab League will take action. He is then berated by protesters for not doing enough. It's the fifth day of the Arab League mission. Activists say more than 150 people have been killed during that time. The Health Secretary, Andrew Lansley, has ordered a review into the risk posed by a potentially faulty French-made breast implant. He's concerned by a report from a cosmetic surgery group that more of the implants had ruptured than previously thought. Mr. Lansley has stressed the implant is still considered safe. Labour have criticised the decision to award a knighthood to a Conservative Party donor. The hedge fund manager, Paul Ruddock, who made money out of the collapse of Northern Rock, was honoured for services to the arts. The Shadow Cabinet Office Minister, Michael Duggar, accused David Cameron of rewarding friends of the Conservatives in the City of London. The Ministry of Defence says a soldier from 1st Battalion, the Yorkshire Regiment, has been killed by a bomb while on a foot patrol in the Nar-es-Sarraj district of Helmand Province, his relatives have been told. A teenager has been remanded in custody by magistrates in Hertfordshire charged with murdering a 19-year-old woman while she was babysitting her niece and nephew. Tony Bushby, who's 18, is accused of stabbing Katie Winter at her sister's house in Boreham Wood on Monday. Celebrations to mark the start of 2012 have begun around the world. Massive firework displays were staged in New Zealand's main city, Auckland, and at Sydney Harbour in Australia. The weather, it'll be very mild but largely cloudy today, with intermittent rain across many western parts, turning heavy in places later. It should be drier further east, with some brightness possible. The BBC News and Weather at 3 minutes past one.
And time for the last of this year's early music shows. It's introduced by Lucy Skeeping.
Welcome to the show, and to be honest, it's all a bit of a nightmare today. Now, I don't mean the coffee machine's out of order. It's just that the theme of the concert we're going to be dipping into is called Nightmare in Venice, and it was recorded at the Bath International Music Festival last May. Well, the title may have a B-movie feel about it, but there's definitely nothing second-rate about the lively and very accessible approach of the performers. They are Red Priest, and they're playing all sorts of music associated with the dark side. Actually, quite a lot of Baroque composers were pretty fascinated by that kind of thing. Themes of the night, ghosts, demons, witches and fairies, the strange and the fantastical. In fact, the word Baroque actually means bizarre or irregular. It comes from the Portuguese word barroco, which referred to a rough or imperfect pearl. In other words, something that was a bit out of the ordinary as a contrast to the sober rationality of the Renaissance which preceded it. In musical terms, the word seems to have been first coined by an anonymous critic back in the 1730s who described a particular French opera as du baroque, because he felt it lacked any coherent melody and was filled, as he put it, with unremitting dissonances. Of course, our ears are well attuned to all that now, but this concert was nevertheless designed to give the audience in Bath's Guildhall a glimpse into some of the more feverish corners of the minds of the Baroque masters. And we start in Venice, home to the ginger-haired composer, violinist and clergyman who gave the group its name, the original Red Priest, Antonio Vivaldi. Vivaldi's Venice was a vibrant and prosperous city, and being situated right on the border between East and West, it naturally played host to an eclectic mix of cultures, which would come together for several months each year in wild celebration under the guise of the famous Carnival. Yet behind the festivities and the masks lurked a more sinister face, a bureaucratic republic ruled by inquisition and execution, with rumours of occult ritual and sexual excess. Vivaldi's Nightmare Concerto brilliantly captures this shadowy side of the city. Jagged rhythms and weird harmonies conjure up a night of ghosts and fitful sleep, and the effect is reminiscent of a horror movie score. Just don't get into the shower for the next 8 minutes.
Thank you.
applause there for the ensemble Red Priest playing Vivaldi's Nightmare Concerto at their Bath Festival concert back in May. Well, the group like to keep their audience on their toes, and continuing with the theme of things otherworldly, they now transport us, maybe on a broomstick, from Venice to 17th century London. Now, here, for the well-heeled anyway, the mask was the popular entertainment of the day, and many of them were based on mythological themes and featured strange or grotesque creatures. Early Baroque masters such as Robert Johnson composed some really beautiful fluid theatre songs with a supernatural flavour. Think Full Fathom Five from Shakespeare's Tempest. And a little later, Henry Purcell refined the art in his subtle and magical writing for the stage. The next piece we're going to hear is an English fantasy suite and draws on material from two of Purcell's most popular stage works, The Faery Queen and Dioclesian. And by the way, don't be alarmed by some occasional noises off in this performance. Red Priest recorder player Piers Adams and violinist Julia Bishop like to get close up and personal with their audiences, and they wandered into the stalls several times whilst playing, no doubt to try and put the musical frighteners on the unsuspecting punters.
Thank you.
Applause there at the Guildhall in Bath for the members of Red Priest playing that English fantasy suite of music from Purcell's The Faerie Queen and Diocletian. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, and on today's programme we're hearing highlights from the concert given by Red Priest at the 2011 Bath International Music Festival. Music with a mythological, ghoulish or demonic feel, I'm afraid. When we think of some of the sublime violin concertos of the classical or romantic era, it's hard to believe that in earlier times, the violin was often associated with the devil. In fact, it was considered rather a lowly instrument that had the power to tempt the faithful away from church and into the seductive, secular world of dance. Giuseppe Tartini's Devil's Trill Sonata is perhaps the most famous example of demonic fiddling. The composer declared that it came to him literally in a dream in which the devil stood at the foot of the bed and played to him on the violin with such mastery and intelligence, he wrote, and on a level I had never before conceived was possible. Well, perhaps that was true. But anyway, it was a hell of a good selling point because the Devil's Trill Sonata has gone on to become a real favourite of the repertoire. Tartini's Devil's Trill Sonata, played there by Julia Bishop with her fellow members of Red Priest, was recorded in May at the Guildhall in Bath. One place where you can usually guarantee to find myth and magic is in Baroque opera. Here, so often we meet human characters, lovers, knights, royal princesses, shepherds and all the rest of them, who get caught up in the antics of supernatural beings. And the next piece, which comes from the furthermost limits of the Baroque timescale, features one of the most famous and magical flute solos of all time, the Dance of the Blessed Spirits from Gluck's opera Orfeo ed Euridice. If you know it, the chances are you've heard it played on a flute. But some musicologists believe that Gluck actually wanted this haunting little piece to be played on the recorder, an instrument which was by then pretty well out of fashion. It certainly does fit the range and timbre of the recorder very well, as you're going to hear in a moment. And it's followed here by music by Jean-Marie Leclerc, the mischievous demon airs from his only opera, Scylla et Glaucus. It's rather ingenious, this, what we might call these days a fusion, in the way it combines the delicate, refined ornamentation that the French do so well with a sort of fiery frilliness more associated with the Italian style.
Thank you.
Red Priest, with those demonic airs from Jean-Marie Leclerc's opera Scylla et Glaucus. And before that, you heard the Dance of the Blessed Spirits from Orfeo by Gluck. Well, even the world of the supernatural has a time limit, and I'm afraid we've come to the last piece in today's programme, La Folia. In its basic form, this is actually a very simple tune, only 8 bars, in fact, with the notes moving up and down just one step at a time. But strictly speaking, it's not a tune at all, but a harmonic pattern, a series of chords upon which, through the ages, lots and lots of composers have written variations. People like Lully, Scarlatti, Corelli and C.P.E. Bach, and later, amongst others, Liszt and Rachmaninoff. La Folia started life, though, long, long before any of them, as a Portuguese folk dance that was apparently so frenzied and so lascivious that it was called folly because the dancers seemed to be literally going mad or out of their minds. We're going to hear the group's reworking of Corelli's version of La Folia, a fantasia which Piers Adams says may not fit the currently accepted boundaries of authenticity. But he says that he hopes it will be taken as it is intended, in the true grotesque spirit of the Baroque.
Thank you.
Applause there for Red Priest's fantasy on Corelli's La Follia, recorded in May at the Guildhall in Bath as part of the International Music Festival. And that's all from today's Early Music Show. Do join me again soon.
Today's Early Music Show was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Manchester by Les Pratt. And in tomorrow's programme, the first of the new year, Catherine Bott will be presenting a concert given by the Academie für Alte Musik Berlin, featuring music by Bach, Telemann and Vivaldi. Do tune in for that if you can at the usual time, just after the 1 o'clock news.
The 2011 BBC Proms season.
More viscerally thrilling than a fully staged performance. Weber and Berlioz, two composers for the price of one. A velvety-toned soloist, warmly lyrical and admirably dexterous. One of the standout performances of the season to date. A thoroughbred among youth orchestras. Catch up with the BBC Proms. Full concerts from the 2011 season to start 2012. Weeknights on BBC Radio 3. And to catch up with the Proms catch-up, listen again online. Go to bbc.co.uk/radio3.
Well, this is BBC Radio 3, and we now have a second chance to hear last Monday's Radio 3 lunchtime concert, which took place earlier in the year at the 2011 Jersey International Music Festival. Liberation was the theme of the festival, commemorating the liberation of the island in 1944 from Nazi occupation. But it was also a celebration of the power of music to liberate the spirit. There were musical performances across the island, and this concert, which was recorded in May at the Jersey Opera House, brings together Beethoven's clarinet trio and one of the Mendelssohn piano trios. Well, Jersey may be small, but its festival attracts some big names in the musical world, and who wouldn't want to spend a few days on Jersey making music or listening to it? The line-up in the Beethoven is the clarinetist Michael Collins, who is in fact also the Jersey Festival's artistic director. There's the pianist Wu Chian and the cellist Natalie Klein. Well, as for the trio itself, Beethoven was in fact still on the right side of 30 when he wrote it. It's a spirited piece, very much from the 18th century, rather than Beethoven in later revolutionary mode. And it has a delightful variation form finale on a bouncy theme by Joseph Weigl.